Well, that's it. That's our thing.
There we go. Okay. Not technologically minded here. Yes, Chairman, thank you. Just wanted to give you a brief report back. When we last left it, we had a response document with a number of changes in it. As we said, we were trying to accommodate industry when it came to the intragroup Section 45. When we sent out the legislation and draft, we sort of sent out an informal draft on the issues of concern, and we got comments back, and we made a few adjustments based on the comments received. Basically, what was going on with intragroup is what upset taxpayers most in the initial bill was that when you transfer assets and you receive cash, or you transfer assets and get a note, we focused on the cash in the note. So we didn't allow cash anymore, and the note had a rollover base cost instead of a fair market value base cost. Anyway, we were focusing on the note and the cash received in exchange for the assets transferred. What we did in the revised approach is we didn't focus on that anymore. We just focused on the degrouping charge. And as we discussed last time, we said the degrouping charge will give rise not only if the buyer and seller are separated, but if any controlling parent is separated. Most of the industry accepted that. They understood there might be some technical corrections to soften that over time, but they were fine with that. But we also needed a second-prong approach because there was some concern that you would do an intragroup sale followed by a distribution out of the group. And there, we adjusted the legislation. They were basically happy with it, but they just wanted to have a 2-year anti-avoidance rule. They said, look, if you do it after many, many years, it shouldn't be a problem, just limit it to a 2-year period. Another issue came around reporting, where the revised bill that we sent out said, if you do an intragroup, the commissioner will have power to require special reporting. And in addition, the minister has the power to require an advanced pre-approval process, that you cannot do these 45s unless the commissioner approves first. There, a number of taxpayers objected. They said, look, you know, all rulings should be automatic. They shouldn't be up to the commissioner's discretion, even if the minister is a precondition for that. We decided to pull back on that aspect of the amendment for further consideration. So basically, we made the adjustments they needed. There was yet another request also dealing with group definition, because the group definition excluded controlled foreign companies. And controlled foreign companies we kept out of the net because they were only partially taxable, and we remained committed to that. However, by changing the rules, we made it difficult to restructure offshore. So we've added a restructuring rule for CFCs offshore that shouldn't cause us any harm, and I think the taxpayers were happy with that. Anyway, that's very high technical stuff, but the bottom line is that we did have a round of discussion for about 2 days with the taxpayers. We made some concessions and adjustments, and I think everybody at the end of the day is fine with that. Those are the technical issues. On a more simplified level, there was the issue of effective date. We brought in all of these rules effective as of 21 Feb. And some people complained that there was unfairness, especially in the rulings process, because they had come for a ruling, and then while the ruling was sitting with SARS, the game changed. So as a concession, or actually a reflection of the comments, we said if the taxpayer has applied for a ruling and did so in a valid way, that the new rules will not apply to them. So they don't have to get the approval, they just have to have made a valid application effectively. So that's that one. Then the third point to be raised is around the deals of concern, which I see you've got 2 days of slotted time in for, BEE financing transactions. Now, we identified those as a serious problem, but we felt they were outside the scope of this legislation. However, we said we would take action to shut a lot of these deals down, and a lot of these deals is really what's happening is the BEE deal is being used as a front. And really what's happening is they're doing a raid on the Treasury with a BEE disguise. We have issued a media release on the subject to shut those things down, and that will be a subject for the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill. That discussion for the media statement, I'm sure when you meet when we have our BE financing workshop, we could discuss those issues more in detail at that time. So I didn't think that was appropriate for today's discussion. But I'm just letting you know action has been taken to shut some of those deals down that we're aware of, but we will need to get back on that workshop and you tell us how to proceed. But there is a media statement out there for the next bill. Anyway, those are my issues, and then Franz can take care of the others.
It
was released on Thursday. Yeah. So.
Thank you, Chair. There was one item which was left as being under consideration in the draft response document which you had signed off, and that was the question of how to handle outstanding reconciliations from employers. The original proposal was that until such time as the employer had provided that reconciliation, SARS would not be allowing a credit in the employee's hands for the employee's tax deducted. The thinking there being that until such time as we had that employer's reconciliation, we didn't know if the employee's tax credit was valid or not. That was seen as unfair by a lot of people, so we went back and rethought that, and as I mentioned the last time in the previous report back, we had two possible options there. The option that we have ended up going for is that the employer is not permitted to issue the IRP-5 until such time as they have submitted the reconciliation to SARS. Now, that does mean that employees may be placed in a difficult position because they can't submit their tax return until they've got the IRP-5, and to address that potential concern, SARS will be waiving penalties for employees that are put in that position. Obviously, that's not open-ended. If your employer gives you the certificate and you still wait another 3 months to give us a return, you're still going to get a penalty. But if you come forward and submit your return within a reasonable period, probably about a month, of getting your IRP-5, even though it's late, we'll waive the penalty. So that addresses the one outstanding issue from our side.
It seems like there has been reasonable progress on matters that were left without sent. Are there any issues that members would like to have clarified? Questions, comments? Mr. Mguni, Mr. Johnson? Yeah, that all.
Thanks. I might have asked this question before. I just want the assurance of whether Section 45, that those anti-avoidance rules that you're going to put into place and to try to stop this abuse, like PE finance transactions, how did you deal with that section? Because you said you still allow some of the, as you said, sheep to go through. Now, how many of the sheep are going to go through? I think I did ask this question, but I just want clarity and proper understanding.
To count them before you fall asleep. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. At the times I find myself more as, as an activist, whilst I'm supposed to be talking their policy. I guess I'm going to struggle forever. You mentioning the financing workshop. Of the, I guess the activist, CAP comes in there. To an extent, the interest is there. From a point of view of the constituencies that one represents, things like this will always be in their interest. Perhaps if more information. On the specific one, and also the composition of people who could be part of this. And I guess, this is all to be factored into what we are talking about. The last one relates to the very last point that Frank was raising about reconciliation by employers. And the issue for me there was more about the timeliness of such. And then you are mentioning that probably, there could be a month that employers could be given. to an extent, we might wish to be looking here at a certain tree, so that we really are not so much about, you know, probabilities. If that is permissible, insofar as you know, an act of Parliament is concerned.
Well,
thank you, Chair. Just a very quick one. First of all, I must congratulate you on the whole approach you have taken. I think it was incredibly proactive that you have tried to shut down, but also the empathy with the industry and with the realities out there. I've read somewhere, and I can't recall where people were or investors were still concerned of that it's difficult and that there's a lot of processes involved in doing business in South Africa. And we know that the minister has also said that we know that we need foreign fixed capital investment. Are you confident that, and I know that this probably compares very well with developed countries, but are you confident that this will compare to such an extent favorably with emerging markets that we will be the preferred investment country to get that foreign currency? I've read in the weekend's paper where, I can't remember the person's name, where he has taken out considerable lot of money from South Africa and put it into Brazil. And obviously one is just concerned about that somewhere along the line we must protect what is ours, but you must also encourage others to bring in money and to create jobs, you know, and to grow our economy from that side as well. Thank you, sir.
That's a quick response to those few questions.
Mr. Nguni's worrying about the sheep again versus the wolf, so let's keep it allegorical because it's painful, the discussion of 45 and the degrouping charge. Effectively, we are letting all the sheep go through. The sheep are going to be fine, except some of the sheep might get stuck a little bit at a later stage where they'll find they have to go through a second bucket. And that's where some technical corrections may have to be made. The problem at this stage was the legislation only got the most of the wolves, but it didn't get some of the biggest of the wolves. And that's why the media statement is coming, because the big wolves are still out there. They were not the target of the initial legislation. So that is why that's really the purpose of the media statement. Because the basic deals that we had identified initially were more widespread, but the amounts were smaller. The deals that we picked up on these, it actually comes in a number of forms. The money was actually much larger. They were basically raised on the Treasury. And that's why the media statement is shutting those down. But we needed a different remedy than what we had originally proposed. It was a larger problem. So I think at the moment, though, most of the sheep are fine. There's no complaints. We've gone through it. I have, in the last several days, if anybody had a problem, they would have come forward. I really think at this stage, the sheep are, they're quite content. The issue that's difficult here, you know, that is raised about activism versus, I guess, you're trying to say something that I heard last week or two ago, that in politics there's two parts. There's the poetry and the prose. There's the activists, and then there's the written text of the law, and that's the struggle that's before us. In terms of the workshop, that I leave in your hands. That has been assembled on your side. The difficulty we have is that a lot of times, a lot of these BE structurings have a purported intent to assist the poor. But at the end of the day, they're basically raiding the Treasury, and they're not really helping anybody but themselves. And the question is, you want to make sure there's the appropriate balance here, that we don't hinder BEE transactions, because that we clearly don't want to do, and the minister has taken that position. On the other hand, we don't want that as a pretext. And we found in some of these deals, by the time they're done, they've not only raided the tax system, but they've also raided their BEE empowerment partners. Because if you're going to cheat one person, you might as well cheat everybody. So that's the difficulty thing, and I think that's the issue that we need a further discussion on. But we've tried to take a balanced approach there. And then I think the final question that Mr. Murray has raised again is the problem, the issue of international comparisons. Now, the difficulty is that we do have a culture where everything is getting pushed to international comparison. There are some things that matter for international comparison that some don't. You've got to make a very careful weighing of a judgment. We have our tax system is unique, like all tax systems around the world, and not everything is comparable. We are trying to continue a balanced approach, and that's all we can really do. One in which that the sheep go through and the wolves are found out. Because if you're not careful, what will happen is people hide behind the foreign investment label, just like the BEE label, and they'll say, oh, we're promoting foreign investment. But allowing people to have a free-handed range to raid the Treasury really doesn't promote foreign investment. It promotes raiding the Treasury with very little job growth on the side. But the issue of foreign investment is important, and you'll see that on big issues, we have to keep an eye on that. But overall, I think what we try to do is take a very balanced approach in our dealings with taxpayers, so that's really the most important message, that if you have a legitimate business activity here, that will be supported. But to the extent that you are involved in avoidance, well, then we're going to have to separate you, because if you do raids on the Treasury in illegitimate ways, the problem is it costs everybody else. And that's the problem that we had in the tax system 15 years ago. We allowed all the big players to raid the Treasury whenever they wanted to. So how do you compensate for that? You increase the taxes on the salaried worker. What you've seen is as we close the loopholes, we have kept upping the thresholds and the marginal brackets so that the salaried workers can have a better range of tax mix. With an improved tax mix, that also affects people across the board and helps them quite a lot. But it is a difficult balancing approach that we always have to be mindful of. It's just all I'm saying is don't rush behind that level, just like don't rush behind the BEU level. That's where they want you to hide, and then they can do what they want to do. Anyway, that's my sermon.
And it wasn't even Sunday. just on the question, the employers have 2 months to put the reconciliation in. That's fixed in the law. It has been fixed in the law for many years. When it comes to the employee side, it's very difficult to be specific because there may be other factors at play. I mean, if you said people can be so late and no later, well, what do you do with someone who's had, you know, some particular unforeseen circumstance that you didn't cater for? So there needs to be a degree of flexibility, and the legislation currently provides for that degree of flexibility on the revenue side when it comes to imposing penalties and waiving penalties. So that's why I say it's in a range. I mean, there may be somebody who's 3 months late is perfectly acceptable. I mean, maybe there was a death in the family, the books were burnt, who knows? There was something particularly strange that happened there that means a 3-month delay is acceptable in that circumstance. So I'm just trying to give a sense of the ranges there.
Okay, there we have it. If there are no further questions, I would want us to move on and adopt the tool. The Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, since it's a money bill, doesn't have a motion. I read the report that the Portfolio Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, Bill 13, 2008, referred to it and classified by the joint checking mechanism as a money bill, reports that it has agreed to the bill. Any objection? Any mover? Mr. Mgoni moves that we adopt it. Mr. Murray, second. And then the Taxation Laws, Second Amendment Bill. The motion of desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the Income Tax Act of 1952 so as to amend certain definitions, to delete certain obsolete provisions, to amend provisions relating to the submission of tax returns and reconciliations, to provide for the imposition of penalties, to effect textual and consequential amendments, and to amend the Value Added Tax Act 1991 so as to effect textual amendments, and three, amend the diamond export levy, the Administration Parapet Act of 2007, so as to clarify provisions relating to registration. And finally, to amend Securities Transfer Tax Administration Act 2007, so as to effect a textual correction and to provide for matters connected therewith. Agreed. And then the report, the Portfolio Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Taxation Law Second Amendment, Bill 14-2008, National Assembly, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the Joint Checking Mechanism as a Section 75 bill, reports the bill without amendment. Agreed. Mr. Malotto. Dr. George. Thank you. Now, members, this Tuesday looks more like a Monday. I'm worried just hope members don't turn against me and say, no, we were not there. Okay, thank you very much. Once again, also to extend our appreciation to National Treasury, SARS, and everybody that came before the committee. We trust that some of the glitches that we identified, for instance, the issue of time, you know, we'll just have to find each other on those and begin to find a way of working around it. We know the more intense one is still going to come, and we're still going to be pressed for time when the revenue laws also come before us. And we trust that with the understanding we have between, you know, amongst all stakeholders, we will continue in that spirit until we are able to find. I know there will never be a time when there is adequate time, but we just need to work around time to see whether we, you know, we can't accommodate each other when it comes to that. But thank you very much. That brings us to the end of the session. Members are urged to make sure that they wait for tea when it comes. Okay, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. We are circulating the program for the coming term, but also tomorrow, members have already received the presentation that is going to be made before us by the South African Reserve Bank tomorrow. The venue as it currently stands is the old Assembly Chamber, and I urge members to please be punctual and attend. But also we are circulating the program for the second quarter of 2008, which is dated the 17th of March. If members could pay attention to those dates, diarize them, and we trust that we will see to those dates. If there are any changes, members will be informed. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you.